In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Open to me the gates of repentance, O giver of life. We hear these words in the Matin service starting today, as our church in her blessed wisdom calls us to repentance. Just as the first words of our Lord in his public ministry was, repent, so too does our church tell us to repent today. And on this day and the following two Sundays, this theme is repentance. Repentance is the door through which we enter Great Lent, the starting point of our journey toward Pascha. And to repent signifies far more than just self-pity or regret over mistakes of the past. The Greek term for repentance, metanoia, means a change of mind. To repent is to be renewed, to attain a fresh way of looking at our relationship to God and our relationship to others. And the reason we've begun to once again focus on this theme of repentance is that we have begun that time of the year in our church known as Triodion. Yes, you heard that right. Today is the first day of Triodion, which means Great Lent is right around the corner, just 3 weeks away. As we approach Great and Holy Lent, there is no way to enter into this blessed season without a repentant heart. This is why we pray in the Matin service, starting this very morning, as we begin this new season in the life of the church. Open to me the gates of repentance, O giver of life. The Triodion period has always kicked off with this parable many of us are familiar with, that of the publican, or tax collector, and the Pharisee. And with this, we are met with another opening, that of the heart of the publican, this repentant tax collector in the gospel today. Now, I explained to you a couple weeks ago that when we were met with the person of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector. Just how unpopular these people were during this time. Tax collectors were known extortionists. They betrayed their own people. They kept money for themselves, and they only obeyed the Romans, the enemy. So not only were they unpopular, but it was very valid for people at this time to call them sinners. But the focus is not only on the tax collector who is labeled a sinner, but also on the so-called religious elite in the person of the Pharisee. We see here today two men, both sinners, both failures. One is failing at praying, the other is a failure praying. And you may very well be familiar with this passage, especially how the gospel highlights for us some of the actual righteous things that the Pharisee does. He goes above and beyond in his fasting, above and beyond in his tithing, but he fails at praying. And Christ tells us just how he is failing at praying when he says, he prayed thus with himself. But do we have the right to judge him in doing this? How often, if we're honest with ourselves, do we go to pray and it only becomes an internal monologue or reflection about ourselves? In prayer, we are called to pray to the Lord. But often we do fail at this. And our time of prayer becomes either a time of self-wallowing in our failures or boasting oneself up in our successes. This is what happens to the Pharisee. He uses time of prayer to give thanks to God, which is 100% a proper way of praying. But his thanksgiving to the divine was entangled with that which is earthly and selfish. So he failed also at humility, by falling into the trap of pride. When we approach our Lord in prayer in a truly contrite and humble spirit, we make our thanksgivings an offering to the Lord and seek his help and guidance to fill all that is lacking. So as we begin this period of Triodion today, this gospel parable from our Lord gives us the first tools we take with us as we prepare this journey of Great Lent. Humility and prayer, knowing that it is only the mercy of God that saves us. which is why we read from the Triodion also, let us make haste to follow the Pharisee in his virtues, but to emulate the publican in his humility. And I'm glad to quote a son of this very parish, Father Stavros Akrotirianaikis, when he says, humility isn't doing everything wrong and coming to God to make it all better. Humility isn't acting pious and expressing self-loathing. Humility doesn't mean you can't have confidence in yourself. And it doesn't mean to not be grateful for the blessings in your life. Humility does put God first in all things. Humility makes it all about God, not about us. Humility is what John the Baptist was talking about when he said, I must decrease so that he may increase. Humility means more of God, less of us. Humility means making it about him, not about us. Our very own father and patriarch Bartholomew says that the only viable means of spreading the gospel, at least in the Orthodox Christian view, is the cultivation of one's own soul in order to become sufficiently spacious to embrace all people. This was the failure of the Pharisee today, because no one who despises his fellow man can pray. In prayer, we do not lift ourselves above our fellow men, but we remember that we are one of a great army of sinning, suffering, sorrowing humanity, all kneeling before the throne of God's mercy. And it all depends on what we compare ourselves with. No matter what kind of life we have led, ultimately, when we set our lives before the life of Jesus and besides the holiness of God, all that is left to say is the words of the tax collector, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Unlike the Pharisee, the tax collector was truly living in the presence of God. And being aware of the presence of God, he was moved to compunction and repentance, essentially praying the Jesus prayer as we know today, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, the sinner. And behold, this man who was brought very low in his repentant heart was the one that was justified and exalted by God. Humility, contrition, repentance. These are the ways in which we humble ourselves so that God can exalt us. And none of these ways can be manifested in external or worldly ways. No, these virtues are only made manifest in the depths of our hearts, in our internal selves. Even our upcoming struggles of fasting and prayer in Great Lent are not a means of exalting ourselves or of following some kind of ritualistic or religious rules or even to appease God in our fasting in some way. No, our struggles in Great Lent are for the purification of our hearts and our minds so that we may be humbled. And ultimately, then may God exalt us in his everlasting kingdom. To our God, may we continue to cry aloud to him and to cry from the depths of our hearts as well. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen.